It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres are back in action on Friday as they will be hosting the Islanders. It's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. The Amerks are in action on Friday as well. They are in Utica, and they picked up a couple of wins last week, in large part due to the netminding of one Michael Hauser, who's with us now. Michael, great to see you. Congratulations on 200 career professional wins now, and how is the season treating you to date?
Going well. We're off to a good start. I think, 3-3 record doesn't really reflect how well we've played. I think, we have a chance to, we've had a chance to win every single game we've played so far, which is a really good sign for how young this team is. It's fun to play behind, to be honest. Other than, the other night, you're going to have those games where it kind of opens up a little bit, but that's been the first one of those. And we've done a really good job with how young we are, kind of limiting the scoring chances and keeping it intact. So we're off to a good start.
What are you working on? And I'm only asking because I look at your game and I think you're a very good technical goalie. Your movement, your positioning, everything is almost by the book, right? But you played a lot of ECHL games, and now you're playing a lot of AHL games. There's an adjustment. Even when you came and played some NHL games, there was an adjustment. So what are you working on now with your game to give you even more of that edge and that success?
Yeah, I've talked about Seamus here a lot. Him and I have worked closely the last, 5-6 years. Yeah. Really, no matter where I am, I'm always keeping in touch with him. So the foundation of my game, I'm always working on my footwork, to be honest, my speed, especially on my feet, shuffle side to side, long T pushes. Those are always something that I think when I'm sharp with, if I'm beating plays on my feet to the puck, then I think my eyes and my hands have always been pretty good. Those are always something I work on too. I do a lot of vision training off the ice. So when my eyes and hands are feeling good and I'm beating things on my feet, that's when I know that I'm really, really sharp. So usually just that. And then, Seamus is really good at tailoring drills towards the team that we're about to play. So, we play Utica twice this weekend. He'll take a look at their power play and kind of what they do. And, today and tomorrow we'll tailor individual goalie drills for me and Sandstrom towards that. So he's really good with that. But we know that that speed on my feet is something that I'm always keeping on top.
Utica has been a successful place for you. Is there something about the barn that you like?
Honestly, I don't really know what it is. It's been since I was younger too. When I was in San Antonio, we came up to Utica a couple times, and I think I had some success when I was younger too. And since I've been in Rochester, obviously we play them a dozen times a year, so we see them a lot. I think a little bit of it is familiarity, and we always have a good team in front of us too, so it's easy to go in there and feel confident that that you can give them a chance to win. And Utica's had some good teams before as well, so it's always a good test, and it's never a team that you're going in sleepy against, I guess you could say. We're always up for those games against them in Syracuse because it's such a good rivalry. And I just think it's all that combined with feeling comfortable in there.
Now, I always love playing at Madison Square Garden because of the way the ceiling was. And just to test your knowledge of the Utica building, when the Women's World Championship was in that building last year, I learned that actually MSG in New York was built kind of like Utica, because Utica was trying this no beams and no obstructed view seats like the old rinks, right? And so they did that ceiling that kind of comes in a little bit like the ceiling, the famous ceiling at MSG did afterwards. So I don't know if you knew that there was a relations between those two buildings. Maybe it gives that feel of being in the most famous arena of in the world, right? When you're playing Utica.
Yeah, I found it out opposite than you did. I found it out, but obviously I had seen the Utica rink before MSG, and then the COVID year when I was up with the taxi squad and then played a couple games too, I got to go to MSG. So I saw the Utica one first and then MSG after. But yeah, I heard that fun fact a couple years ago, and it is pretty cool to have that at least visual while you're out there, that the rink's modeled after MSG's modeled after the Utica rink. So that is pretty cool to play in front of. But yeah, that's a fun fact.
It was a wild game on Saturday that you referenced, where it got pretty wide open, ended up being a 5-4 shootout win. Can you recall a time where you were in a game where your team got a penalty shot and then the other team got a penalty shot within a 5-minute window in the same period?
No, I don't know if I've ever seen two in the same game, let alone so close to each other. I figured that, you know, once we got our penalty shot, they were coming in our breakaway. It was kind of a little like tap on the hands, but I figured they were going to, you know, they weren't just going to call a penalty after we got a penalty shot. So I was prepared for a penalty shot, pointing to center ice. And, you know, at least we both, you know, it kind of evened out at the end. We both ended up stopping our penalty shots. So, but yeah, it was, I don't think I've ever seen that before. No, even watching NHL games, I'm not sure I've ever seen it.
Yeah. So I'll raise you one more. Eric Cole got two penalty shots against me in the same period. In the same period. I stopped him on once and he scored on the other. But yeah, like that never had happened. Two penalty shots in the
same period. Him first and then he scored on the second one, or vice versa?
I believe he scored on the first one and I stopped the second one.
He ran out of moves is what happened.
Right. Well,
he panicked.
Michael, you were really, really, really sharp in the shootout. You know, the Cleveland got the early lead on the second shooter and then you slammed the door on the final four. Just how has that part of your game evolved over your career, and what goes into a pre-scout, or is there a major pre-scout, you know, with, I would say, shootouts diminishing here as we move along in today's hockey?
Yeah. Well, shootouts are always something that I felt comfortable in, to be honest. I've always felt more comfortable in a shootout than 3-on-3. It's something that I've had success with really since juniors. I think in juniors is when I was in juniors, they started to go to the 3-on-3 and then the shootout after. And you're right. It seems like there's a lot less shootouts now, probably because of the skill of the players, and they're more tactical in 3-on-3 too. It's puck possession. You're waiting for that, you know, grade A opportunity to jump and take advantage of it. And then if you don't score, then it's going back the other way. But just feeling comfortable in the shootouts. The other night I felt really good. In terms of pre-scout, there's not as much in the American League as there is. I know when I've been up in the NHL before, they're always rolling through shootouts, usually on the other goalie and how they play shootouts, not so much on the player. But, you know, once you play a lot, like we have Josh Dunn on our team this year, and he was telling me that the fix Wolanski on Cleveland, that's his move. That's what he does every time is big backhand, go low glove. And I didn't know that going into it. I ended up stopping him, but he just says that's his go-to move. So the more you play in the same division too, you start to learn those kind of things. But that's as far as the pre-scout goes. But shootouts are something, that I've always felt comfortable in. And, you know, I wish we could just go right to them, honestly, after regulation.
Do the shootout at the start of the game so you know what the outcome will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, here you go.
Yeah.
We'll do the shootout right away so you know, hey, if we tie, it's a win because we've got it in the bag.
Yeah.
How much NHL do you watch? I'm curious to know.
I watch quite a bit of hockey. Yeah. I like all sports, honestly. Like, I love baseball. I love football. So anytime especially the Sabres are on, I try to watch all Sabres games as much as I can. I still have a soft spot for the Pens. I like watching Crosby because of my hometown team when I was growing up. So watch Fleury last night play his last one in Pittsburgh. That was pretty cool. I thought that was a really cool moment. Yeah, I try to watch as much hockey as I can. Usually the West Coast games are a little too late, so I might watch a period if McDavid's playing at 10 or 10:30 and then go to bed after. But yeah, I love watching hockey. I'm a big on the fly guy, so I like watching the highlights too.
That's good.
But yeah. Well,
the reason I'm asking, Michael, is because a lot of goalies are struggling, right? And the numbers are showing like, hey, you know what? This has been a tough start and it always is usually in the first month and the scoring comes down a little bit. But are you seeing anything that, like, I'm seeing a lot of goalies that don't really have a lot of flow and don't read the plays or trying to be too technical, too robotic in that. I don't know. You're in the game now. I've been out of the game 10 years, but I wonder if you're watching with a critical eye and seeing something that's happening that's making the numbers that bad.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Nothing specifically, but like you said, it's kind of, you're right. They try to be really, really technical, especially coming out of the summer, I think. And you're skating with your goalie coaches and you're working on goalie drills in the summer. I think once you see the season go along and goalies start getting the flow of games, and once you start playing 10, 15, 20 games, then it's like you're kind of just playing the game. You're not playing goalie anymore. And I think that's the biggest thing is I try to tell myself that all the time. Like, you know, during the week, and during practice time, there's certain things that you want to work on always, and you never want to just go out there mindlessly and just play. But when the game time comes, you kind of put all that aside and you're just playing, you're playing the game. And, you know, it doesn't matter how you make the saves in the game, as long as you're making them. So I think once you have certain, you know, number of games under your belt to start the season, I think the flow starts coming along. And, I think that's kind of how I felt this past week too, is, you know, I got the chance to play twice last week. Yeah. And even though, you know, gave up four on Saturday, but I felt really, really good even on like in zone power plays. The more times you see the same play, you know, you don't see that kind of route or passing play during the summer. Really, you're kind of out there and you're kind of a target for skill players. But you know, once you start seeing power plays more often, you start getting the flow and it's kind of like second nature, then the more times you see it.
Sports is funny from a fan standpoint because we tend to prematurely age people. We think as soon as they hit 30, it's like, oh my gosh, this person's so old. It's like, the reality is they're not old at all. So why do we do that? And you're young, you're 32. Like, I mean, we've been lucky to have a lot of interactions with you over the last number of years. And I'm assuming that you also hopefully still feel young at age 32. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, somebody said the other day, I honestly didn't even realize it until the other day, but I'm the oldest guy in the room here. So, you know, Bershie's not here anymore. I'm the oldest guy now. And you're right. It really doesn't feel that way. I kind of, you know, I'm outspoken. I like to have fun with the guys. So no, it really doesn't feel like that. But I think the biggest thing too, especially with my game, is that I still feel like there's areas that I'm getting better in too, which is, you know, a good feeling. I think once you start, once you stop feeling like you're getting better, then you could start feeling your age a little bit. But, you know, even from the beginning of training camp, when we started working with Seamus, to now, there's just certain things that we've kind of nailed down that now I feel more comfortable in even today on the ice. So I think once that stuff stops, then you might start feeling it. But, you know, right now I still feel like I'm getting better at things even, you know, day by day, which is a really confident feeling.
I'm young at 47. I've got two games in the coming month, Michael. I've got two games in 1 week, and I'm playing a game in Toronto, and then we got the Shorzy cast coming into Buffalo on November 13th, and we're playing Shorzy. So this or that, should I stretch or not stretch before the game, because it's not going to matter much?
You got to do it just for the next morning, even. You gotta do it. The next morning would be rough if not. Honestly, I think that's super impressive that you're strapping them on and going out there. I don't know how many reps you get during.
I haven't done it in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's really impressive. Yeah, I would recommend touching your toes at least once before before putting the pads on.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. Awesome. Have a great weekend in Utica, Michael. Continued success. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Michael Hauser from the Amerks. We'll wrap Sabres Live after this.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.